this content factory we call The Rich Eisen Show.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And if you don't have a sense of excitement about this, I don't know what you're here for.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I can't tell you enough how much I love your show.
With guest hosts Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison.
Boom.
Live.
Boom.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rich Eisen brand is really hot.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
And now, sitting in for Rich.
We're ready for any challenge.
Here's Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison.
Hour number three in a Friday. Big show, as always. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show. I want to thank you guys for spending part of your week with us. We've had a great show so far. Matt Light came on, talk about his new charity initiative he's working on with Anthony Sherman from the Chiefs. You can learn more about what those guys are doing to raise money for a good cause at shermfightsforfreedom.org. We had Darius Miles, one half of the Knuckleheads, and Ben Schwartz from Middle Ditch and Schwartz. And coming up momentarily, I'm being told, we're going to have Ed Bouchette. You know him as a writer covering the Steelers for The Athletic. We're going to have Ed on in a moment to share some thoughts about the state of the Steelers right now, yes, which is definitely in flux as they figure out what to do with Ben Roethlisberger and will Juju Smith-Schuster stop dancing on midfield and actually catch a pass when it counts? Who knows what's happening in Pittsburgh? So momentarily, we'll be joined by Ed Bouchette from The Athletic. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you again, Kirk, you know, when you look at this offseason of NFL mobility 24 hours after the Carson Wentz deal happened, where I believe both teams got worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's possible in a trade, but somehow Indianapolis and Philadelphia pulled that off.
Right.
What's the next situation that's got you on the edge of your seat?
Oh, like I said, it's going to be difficult, right? And we're about a month away, okay, Ben? So that's a good part, is a month that we start to count down in terms of the league new year. So everyone always thinks that January 1st is like happy new year for everybody. Like, no. I go off the NFL league new year, the new league calendar, right? So March 17th truly is a big day for a lot of players, right? Some are, if they're on the active roster or on a roster on March 17th, that means that some guys have roster bonuses that now go. If some guys are cut, then some guaranteed money is now taken away. You know kind of where you stand by March 17th. I've been there before. I've been where I've had to sign a contract before. I didn't get a contract before one time. It's just, it's a mess over the next couple of weeks. This is what every franchise is doing right now. They're looking at their grocery list and they're looking at how much money they got. That's what's going on in the NFL circles. And so for me, what is the next big domino? We've been thinking, okay, JJ Watt, where is he going to go? Well, the thing is with JJ Watt, everyone's looking at their grocery list. They're looking at how much am I willing to spend on J.J. Watt when I may have some other holes that I need to fill first. J.J. Watt's not going to come cheap. It's going to come with a nice little pretty price tag.
Organic grass-fed price tag. You're going shopping.
He ain't doing it on the cheap. So teams,
he's not at Vons or Ralph's. He's at Whole Foods or Air One.
No. And you know, a lot of teams like to go to Sam's Club or Ralph's, I mean, or Costco, right? They want to shop in bulk. You know, you don't want to just get one large item.
I like the guy on the corner, a La Siena guy who's selling the grapefruits out of the car. Oh, yeah. That's where I get my groceries.
But honestly, I think the next big domino, to answer your question, to me, has to be, obviously, what happens with Deshaun Watson, because it's more about the quarterbacks. That's what this league's about. If you have that in place, then you can really fill in other pieces of your roster. We saw that with who? Tom Brady. You know, they got the quarterback in Tampa. Then you could bring in Rob Gronkowski.
But see, I think that's ultimately going to bite so many people in the wrong part of their body when it comes to trying to replicate what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did. Get a great defense, get some skill positions, and let's just insert an aging quarterback who won't blow the game for us. You think of Matt Ryan potentially, or
Matthew Stafford.
Stafford's more than that now, I think, at this stage in his career. But guys who are sort of in the twilight of their career.
Correct.
Not everybody's Tom Brady. So when you do that with the wrong guy, you're going to get a much different result. I don't think that's a formula that other teams around the league, it's a copycat league in all sports. So I don't think you're going to see teams try to stack the deck in their favor. Oh, let's just bring in that quarterback at the end. You're seeing teams really trying to build around that quarterback, which is why, Kirk, I feel like Houston is totally playing this situation wrong. This is such an opportunity for them. This is such a blessing. And you say, what? Deshaun Watson wanting to leave your team is a blessing? Well, you weren't winning anything with Deshaun Watson. And if he were to come back, let's say, with a new attitude, let's say he goes off to Peru and meditates and finds himself in the mountains and comes back and says, you know what? I'm a Houston Texan. I want to be here. Well, guess what? You're still not winning anything. You had your number one wide receiver miss half the season with PEDs. You had the face of your franchise asked to walk out the door. It is definitely a rebuild in Houston. So why not accelerate that rebuild? Why not embrace the fact that you aren't going to have success this year with Watson and go out there and get a Herschel Walker ransom for Watson and rebrand and rechange and turn the page for your football team? It's a tremendous opportunity for them, because think about this. Since Deshaun Watson was drafted, Lamar Jackson's in the league, Josh Allen's in the league, Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Joe Barrow, like, there are more quarterbacks coming. They come every year. This year you got Justin Fields, Mac Jones. You got, of course, Trevor Lawrence. And you have so many guys, Zach Wilson. I don't know. I know quarterbacks are special, and when you get a great one, you hold on to it. But it's not going to work in Houston. So stop trying to put a square peg in a round hole and just move on from Deshaun Watson. Embrace it, Houston Texans. This is your opportunity.
Ben, how many people are there in the world, by the way?
6 billion, something like that.
Yeah, we can't find 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. Or every single year, we're looking at a new 5 or 6 guys to come in. It is the most difficult position to play in sports, because the consistency has to be there every single year. That's why I marvel at Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, obviously Tom Brady. But if you think about it, we've seen a ton of quarterbacks who start off good, and now we don't know. Whether it's Carson Wentz, whether it's Jared Goff, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. The 32 jobs in the NFL, it is a continual search. Everyone's trying to find one, and hopefully I don't have to change for many years. The New England Patriots, they got it right. It took them to the 6th round to get Tom Brady, but that position didn't change for 17, 18 seasons, right? That's the difficulty right now, is that you're seeing in Houston that they have a quarterback. They have the guy who they feel can play that longevity at that position. But yet the quarterback is saying, nuh-uh.
So then you don't have the guy. So you think you have the guy, but if the quarterback, it's a two-way street. You got to have a guy who wants to be there. You got to have a guy who wants to buy in and elevate others. And if he's not in that place right now, then why force the issue?
Well, I think also, too, deadlines sort of push agreements. There is no deadline right now. There's nothing that can be tomorrow. We can still be waiting.
But trust me, I've come in every morning being like, can they please just move Watson so I can have a first hour of the show?
Correct. But we're waiting for that actual trade or the decision to be made. Houston is saying one thing, and obviously, they're hell-bent on, hey, we want to keep Deshaun. He's in our plans for the future. But yet, when you realize Deshaun Watson is saying, and first of all, we have not heard from Deshaun Watson. We've heard from his camp. So they're saying he won't be back. Is this a game of chicken? Who's going to, you know, kind of flinch first? I don't know. But I think for the most part is that if you can get a nice little return for Deshaun Watson, if you're the Texans, you have to do it. Like, you have to. Because if you're Deshaun Watson, if I'm his agent, which I know who his agent is, by the way, but if I'm his agent, I know what his agent is probably thinking, maybe, that I can't put my quarterback in this situation, in this environment. It is too much, because I want his career to have longevity. He's going back to a franchise that has now one of the worst defenses. Offensively, they're going to go under construction again. I know they'll keep the same offensive coordinator from last year, but Deshaun Watson's been sacked way too many times. There's too much that goes into Deshaun Watson for this year in Houston that he needs a fresh start. And Houston, the franchise, they need to reboot everything. Yes, it worked for a while with the Matt Schaub's, right? But you finally hit on Deshaun Watson, and yet you're trying to rebuild with him there. That's what he's saying. It's like, I don't want to be part of a rebuild. I just don't.
Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. And he has every right to not want to do that as he enters the prime of his career. And I think this leads me to something I wanted to talk to you about this week, and the idea that contracts need to be more of a two-way street. I feel like these players get put in such a tough position when the teams don't step up and deliver on their end of the bargain. They don't go out and draft well. They don't go out and sign the right free agents. They don't go out and sell enough season tickets or whatever it is. They should give these players little outs so you don't get in these standstills where the player is forced to be the bad guy. All right, we finally got him. So I want to switch gears from the Texans to the Steelers. Time now to welcome in Ed Bouchette from The Athletic, who knows all things Steelers. It's great to have you on the show. And I want to ask about the state of the Steelers and what is the plan with Ben Roethlisberger? Will he be the starting quarterback for week one?
Well, it's a big question here, and nobody seems to know right now. And I'm including the Steelers in that and Ben Roethlisberger. They still have yet to sit down and discuss details, and it's a twofold thing. One is money, which I think they can come to an agreement on. But the other thing is who's going to be around him? Three of his closest people now are gone. His offensive coordinator, his center Marquise Pouncey, and a friend in tight end Vance McDonald, and more are going to follow. Juju Smith-Schuster won't be here. It's a guy Ben, a receiver Ben wanted back. You know, Bud Dupree won't be here. His left tackle Al Villanueva is a free agent, most likely won't be here. So that's all part of what's going to go on. I think Ben wants to know who's going to be here, be on his team this year, and that will enter into his decision, and maybe theirs as well.
But Ed, how much of the decision for Ben is it about, okay, like you mentioned, who is going to be back, but on the other side, on the flip side, as an organization, is there a contingency plan regardless for if Ben decides to come back or even the future years for the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Are they looking outside to bring someone in who could be the quarterback in waiting?
No, they're not looking outside as far as a free agent. The draft is always a possibility depending on, you know, who's there when they draft, if they're willing to go up and get a quarterback. But Mason Rudolph right now would be their starter next year if Ben doesn't return. And there's a lot of scenarios involved because Rudolph enters the final year of his contract. And if Ben comes back and he's healthy and he plays through the entire season, they're not going to know anything about Rudolph before he becomes a free agent. If Ben retires, then Rudolph starts. They signed Dwayne Haskins, and they would be looking to add, you know, because those are the only two guys they have on a contract right now. They could draft one. They could sign a journeyman. Hey, Duck Hodges started for them. You know, they pulled him out of nowhere.
Ed Bouchette joins the show, writer for The Athletic, covering all things Steelers.
Yeah, you mentioned that Dwayne Haskins, though, Ed. Like, obviously, that was a future signing. Could he be maybe the reclamation project that they want to get turned around? And could he be the future at the quarterback position for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
He's a wild card. He is, okay. I mean, anything could happen with him. He could become what you just said, you know, as the 15th overall pick in the draft just 2 years ago. I think a lot of teams saw him as a future starter. Certainly Washington did. And I don't know what happened there. I know he played a lot of games and didn't do well, and I know about the party without the mask and everything, but Kevin Colbert said the other day he liked him when he was coming out, Kevin, their GM, and he's worth a shot. It's cost them nothing. He's not guaranteed any money. He's $850 if he makes the team. And there's a lot of talent there. So I would say he could. But on the other hand, you know, they signed Paxton Lynch also 2 years ago, former first-round pick of Denver, and he did nothing, and they caught him, and he's still out there.
Ed Bouchette joins the show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. You can read Ed's stuff, of course, at The Athletic, and you've got a great article up right now, Ed, about the linebacker situation in Pittsburgh as well. So much attention, of course, being placed on Ben Roethlisberger and Juju Smith-Schuster. However, as a University of Michigan man, I know how important Devin Bush is to this team and what the loss meant to him this season. So talk to me a little bit about what's going on the defensive side of the ball for the Steelers this offseason.
Yeah, you start with T.J. Watt. You know, he'll be back. He's on a fifth-year option, and they will try to extend him with a new contract. And Devin Bush, as you mentioned, he sustained an ACL last October. He was, you know, dynamic for them. He was just coming into his own when that happened. Where will he be physically? I think that's the biggest question. You know, some guys overcome that ACL rather quickly. Sometimes it takes others a full season, even while they're playing, to get back into what was their form before. So that's the question with Devin. Bud Dupree's a free agent. Now, he tore his ACL as well, middle of the season. And I think the assumption is somebody's going to sign him, nevertheless, to a big contract, and he'll be gone. They have a kid out there, Alex Highsmith from Charlotte College, who played pretty well in Bud Dupree's absence last year at right outside linebacker. And then they have Vince Williams on the inside. So their linebacking core is okay. It won't be nearly as strong, shouldn't be nearly as strong without Bud Dupree next year. But then, you know, they played most of the season without Bush, so that's going to help them as well. The linebacker situation is good for them.
But you're only as good as your last game. And the last game that we saw the Pittsburgh Steelers play, they got embarrassed by those Browns of Cleveland. And it looks to be as if the Browns may have leapfrogged Pittsburgh within that division. What were your lasting impressions on what happened with that game, Ed, and kind of the outlook for going forward within this division? Will the Pittsburgh Steelers be able to compete when it seems like these other teams are moving forward where so much is going to be lost with Steelers?
Yeah, my lasting impression, and it will be forever, was the opening snap over Ben's head by Marquise Pouncey that the Browns jumped on for a touchdown, and then they went up, 21-0 on a couple interceptions by Ben. So they were behind the eight ball, and they came back and made a game of it, but the Steelers were behind the eight ball right away, and, you know, all those points the Browns scored weren't all on the defense, but the defense didn't play well that day, especially their defensive line, which is pretty good. That was a terrible game for them, and it started out with just some terrible mistakes, and I don't know that it meant the Browns had that much more talent or were that much better than them. It was just, you know, the snap over the head got everything going, and then the Browns just kept adding with interceptions, with some bad throws by Ben.
Ed Bouchette joins the show, you know, of course, covering the Steelers for The Athletic. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show. And I want to leave you quickly with this. Ben Roethlisberger contemplating retirement. One of the all-time greats. But just for folks who aren't in Pittsburgh, what is the idea of Ben moving on from Pittsburgh mean to that community, to the franchise, to the team?
Yeah, it seems to be split right now that some people think they should move on, that Ben at 39, it's time to go. And others, like myself, I think he still has good football left in him. But nevertheless, it still may be time to go, even though he has good football left, because I don't know that the Steelers are going to have a contending team next year. And why play out the string under those circumstances, you know? But he has been a great quarterback. Whether he comes back or not, his career was, you know, it rivals Terry Bradshaw. Now, Bradshaw put up four Super Bowls to Ben's two, but nevertheless, Roethlisberger, if you look at all the statistics, including comeback wins, he's up there top top five or six in most categories. And, you know, he's been here for 17 years, and for 17 years, they have not had to worry about that position.
One of the all-time greats, that's for sure. As are you, Ed. As are you. Thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
Ed Bouchette, you know his work from The Athletic, does a great job covering the Steelers. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. And coming up next, we're going to get into that Lakers-Nets game last night and what that means for the balance of power in the Western Conference. Talk a little NBA next here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband
and co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison hanging out today for Rich. Rich will be back on Monday. Big night last night in the NBA, doubleheader on TNT. Bucks are in trouble. Bucks don't look good. The NBA seems to have Giannis figured out, but then the marquee matchup, the Brooklyn Nets at the LA Lakers, and no KD, no AD, took a little shine off the game, but it still felt like you were watching an all-star game last night when you see LeBron and Marc Gasol, who was once an all-star, and of course Kyrie and Harden, and it was an electric atmosphere despite no fans there. You could see that it was a chippy game for Brooklyn, Kyrie in particular. At one point, LeBron going to the free throw line for a technical, and the mics could pick up Kyrie shouting, "Oh, that's your best free throw shooter?" And sure enough, LeBron misses the free throw. You like to see the chippiness between these guys. It makes NBA regular season games mean that much more. You know, the first big loss for the Lakers last night after the news of Anthony Davis going down with the calf strain. He's going to be out for a month at least now. Miami, the defending Eastern Conference champions in a rematch of the NBA Finals, they come to town Saturday for the Lake Show. I know we talk a lot of Lakers out here in Los Angeles, Kirk, but, you know, across the country, obviously, teams are looking at the Lakers in trouble right now, and they have to be salivating.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble too, because we got the reports that now Anthony Davis will miss a month, 4 weeks. So we know
at least, at minimum,
right? They want him to fully recover. But for me, anytime I hear an injury, there's always a possibility of re-injuring upon return. Like, we still don't know what may happen in that evaluation period, to where it could be, you know what, he may need more time. As a Warriors fan, I remember I heard the same thing about the sort of calf injury, sort of lower leg situation with Kevin Durant, and him being almost not forced, but the attention, everybody just kind of, look, they're winning without you. You need to get out there. And he goes out there and plays well for about a couple minutes, and then boom, he tears his Achilles and we lose him for an entire season. Now, I'm glad to see him back and healthy. And I know he didn't play last night, but that's always in the back of my mind when it comes to those types of injuries with Anthony Davis. But that being said, last night, yes, I think the NBA saw that this is a Lakers team that definitely look like they can be beat, right? Without Anthony Davis, it's obviously a different team. Like, you can see their deficiencies, what they're missing out on. And it's, especially, there was a Killmonger, Black Panther sort of aspect last night, right? King T'Challa, right? It was like where Killmonger, which is played by Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther, was is Kyrie Irving. And he's looking around all of Wakanda saying, is this your king? Like, is this your guy? Is LeBron your guy? Like, okay. Because this is now giving us what we need, though, Ben. Like, we needed this villainous back and forth between two teams that we would hope we see in late June. I know it's February, but we want to see this in June. I want to see two teams with respect for each other, but just don't like each other. You know what I mean? And hopefully we're getting this with Brooklyn. We're getting this with the Lakers, because to your point, I don't want to see that Milwaukee stuff. Like, I'm done with that. Like, okay, Giannis, okay, man, you won two MVPs, but right now, I just don't even want to see that matchup anymore.
Like, they've lost five in a row now, or they're a bunch at home, and, you know, it's Sisyphus in Hades pushing the boulder up the hill. How many more times can you do it? And then it rolls back down the hill, and you say, maybe you have to go around the hill or get somebody else to help me push the boulder or something, or else you're doomed to an eternity of this.
If we took a poll right now, Ben, and we asked people out there, who would you rather see in the NBA Finals, Lakers-Nets or Lakers-Bucks? I would say a majority, at least 80%, maybe 90%.
Oh, without question.
I want to see without Lakers question. Nets.
I mean, because these guys, and we haven't even really seen the whole Brooklyn thing in full. I mean, Dinwiddie went out, and that's a huge loss for them. And then you make the trade for Harden. You've had Kyrie in and out of the lineup, KD in and out of the lineup. Yeah, you want to see a full Brooklyn squad and a full Lakers squad in the NBA Finals. But I don't know if we're going to get there, because regardless of how much time AD takes, as you said, it's going to be at least a month.
Yes.
People are sleeping on the team-in-law. People are sleeping on the Utah Jazz. I affectionately call them the team-in-law because, as you know, my beautiful wife, Mariah, calling the Salt Lake area city home, they are my team-in-law. I watch a lot of Jazz team basketball, and they have something that a lot of these other teams don't have right now, the elite teams in the NBA. They have continuity. Mm-hmm. There's so much turnover in the league, so many new pieces, parts. Even the Lakers last year, they win a title. They go out and get Trez. They go out and get Marc Gasol. They go out and get Dennis Schroeder. They have key pieces now that weren't a part of this thing last year, Wesley Matthews. Right. So the Jazz, with their core brain trust of Donovan, Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert, Quinn Snyder, they've got guys who have played together, been through the wars. Joe Ingles took Paul George out of Game 6 a couple years back in Salt Lake. He went 2 of 19, I think, from the floor that day. You know, Joe Ingles took J.J. Redick out of a Game 7 on the road in Los Angeles, ending the Clippers season.
Right.
You know, this team is good. They're shooting the three at a historic clip. Donovan Mitchell, the fastest, youngest player, I think, to 200 threes in his career. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder, too. Yeah. They lost last year 3-1 in the bubble. They were up over a Nugget squad and that they should have beat. So I think the Jazz are for real, even if AD is healthy. Don't sleep on the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, I think also, too, they can push the Lakers a lot more this year than maybe they could have last year, right? Remember, the bubble is going to be what it was. That was the bubble. And now we're starting to see now, like, which teams are for real? How are you playing on your home court? How are you with rotations? And look, Anthony Davis has not played like an all-star. And if you saw last night's all-star voters, the teams that were announced, Anthony Davis was not voted in all-star last night. Like, when they released the team on the Western Conference, he was not. It goes to, obviously, Steph is that one guard. LeBron. The other guard was LeBron.
Luka got in there.
Who's that?
Luka.
Yeah, obviously Luka. But I'm just looking. I'm saying, so AD's not there. So now he's not playing at the high clip. And you do have guys with chips on their shoulders now, man. You got guys who are saying, hey, it's not all about the Lakers. The Lakers won. And this is going to be sort of the criticism that LeBron and the Lakers are going to have to fight. People are going to say not many guys handled the bubble correctly or couldn't handle the bubble. Obviously, we know the Clippers. They couldn't handle being away from family or friends, just the mental aspect of the bubble. The Lakers were able to do that. They had an older team outside of, you know, Kyle Kuzma and the younger, but they had an older team that could handle the bubble. You're out of the bubble now. And so I think this playoffs, whenever it does get here, will be a lot more wide open than the bubble last year.
No, you're absolutely exciting. Right. Kirk Morrison, Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Lakers lose last night 109-98 to Brooklyn, shorthanded. Both teams were, with KD and AD both out of the lineups. I don't think Schroeder played either last night.
No, because of protocols.
So much is made out of the Lakers' depth and the Lakers having so many different players who can contribute. Well, last night they only had three guys scoring double figures.
Right.
And you know, when you're looking at matching up with a team like Brooklyn that's scoring at a historic clip. I mean, they're dropping 120, 130. I'm seeing them score in the 140 some nights. You know, you're going to get in a shootout, and with only three guys going for double figures, like, I don't know where they're going to get the points from. You know, even if with a healthy AD, you give me 25 from him. Let's get to the playoffs. Give me 30 from him, 30 from LeBron. That's 60. I need another 65 points somehow, and I don't know where I'm getting that from with this Lakers team.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons why when I looked at the Lakers were three-point favorites in the game, I immediately said, you know what? A couple dollars may need to go on to the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, this is a team now.
Only. I, you know, that's why I know you're higher than Utah Jazz, too, because of your altitude theory.
Yeah, absolutely. There are certain teams that I'm watching now, and Brooklyn is one of them. And I'll be first, Ben, to raise my hand. Because I have to raise my hand because I didn't think that the egos of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden would really work in this scenario. And look, time will still tell. Because these are three alpha males. These are three guys who, two out of three, have won championships. James Harden actually played in the NBA Finals before.
So, but James Harden has won a championship. It might not be an NBA championship.
Uh-oh.
But that guy has won championships. His name is in the rafters in many places across this country. This man is competing in a different game.
I know what you're talking about.
That James Harden is not a champion means you just don't know James Harden.
Okay, what championship am I missing?
James, I'm telling you, Kirk, he's playing in a different game. We all can sit on the sidelines and ring count and say that, you know, this guy hasn't won a title. Carmelo never made it. James Harden is a proven champion.
I know his name hangs from the rafters in certain locations, right? That he's
playing a different game.
Yeah, I know a couple places that he's been to. Definitely, they know his name when he walks in. He's like, "Cheers, hey James, how you doing?" And the music starts.
By the way, none of those places are like Cheers. Have you ever been to the Cheers bar in Boston? None of the places that James Harden is a champion is are anything like Cheers.
No, they pat you down before you walk in. But even still, man, I joke
with that, but I'm serious when I mean that. It's that mentality that is why his ego won't come into play. Like, it's not this, we're trying to prove who's the alpha, who gets the credit. They're all alphas. They've all won championships. They've all won MVPs and All-Stars and Olympic medals. And there is no ego. Like, I don't think that it's that type of situation.
Correct.
Because of that mindset. Like, they don't need to prove anything to anybody other than themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's where I got it wrong. Because I was thinking, okay, with all these alpha males, that you know, hey, I can take this shot. Or you listen to Kyrie's comments now, like, all right, now, you know, I got somebody who can hit that shot now he didn't have before. So I bring all that up because I'm watching James Harden become a point guard, or he's always truly kind of been a point guard or a playmaker. But then last night when he's asked, hey, I'm going to need you to score tonight, James. Oh, yeah, I can still do that. I'm still good at doing that. And he does that. And I think now the biggest criticism of James Harden is that when he gets to late May and maybe even June, he's ran out of gas. He has nothing left. And I'm watching him have a nice little plan to conserve all three of these guys so they can be at their peak performance come playoff time. All you need is really two of the three guys to be amazing each night.
I was thinking of that last night. I was like, if this team were just Kyrie and Harden out here and they were balling with DeAndre and Joe Harris hitting shots, I go, oh, this is the best team in the Eastern Conference. Oh, why not throw in a cheat code as well and Kevin Durant? I mean,
but you can sit Kevin Durant for like 6 minutes in the second quarter, 6 minutes in the third quarter possibly, And all of a sudden now he's coming in with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It's like, KD, do your thing. Like, there's not many NBA teams that can match the firepower that I'm watching with the Nets. I'm not crowning them. No, I'm not crowning them. But, man, it's going to be fun to watch. And it does present a problem for the Los Angeles Lakers, because right now we know where their scoring is going to come from. LBJ, Anthony Davis. But who's always going to be that third guy, which will be more importantly? Because Rondo ain't there this year. Ain't no playoff Rondo.
Right? No playoff Rondo. You don't have the big fellas and JaVale and Dwight clogging up the middle now that AD's gone. Danny Green. So it's a different season. Don't sleep on my Jazz. The team in law is coming, Kirk. Coming up next, we're going to celebrate Kirk Morrison. We're going to tell you why he's the most professional man in sports media. He's truly an inspiration. We'll get into it. We're going to embarrass Kirk next. It's Ben Lyons. Hanging out with Kirk here, filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons and Kirk Morrison hanging out for Rich. And the top of the week, Kirk, I was hanging out with Ryan Leaf all show long on Monday, right. Tuesday, Wednesday. And I told him that, you know, I've been very fortunate throughout my career covering film, covering sports, that I've gotten to work with some real icons of the business and make television, make radio with people I've admired my whole life. gotten to work with Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters and Stephen A. Smith at the Oscars this year, of all places, and, you know, some true professionals. But I've never encountered someone as professional as you are, Kirk. I mean that in all sincerity. I really do, because I just found out after 2 hours and 45 minutes that today's your birthday. Happy Thanks, birthday, man. Kirk. Seriously, dude.
Appreciate it.
Bury the lead. First of all, you know, if it's my birthday, you can't find me for a week.
Oh, really?
But you're a Raider, tough guy, a pro, did your job on the football field, and now you're doing your job as a broadcaster, and it's your birthday. Happy birthday, man. Why are you choosing to celebrate with us?
Oh, man, appreciate it, dude. Man, I love working, man. I love hanging out, love talking sports. You make it easy for me, so that's also a great plus as well, but... yeah, man, turned 39 today. So, you know, the texts have been coming through, the calls, the tweets.
I had no idea it was your birthday. Happy birthday. How has the birthday changed over the years? Take me back to some of your wilder birthday days, or are you still doing it big?
Well, trust me, that's what the text messages have been about with the buddies today, where when I was an active NFL player, he was like, one of my buddies reminded me, he said, happy birthday, Kirk, to the one guy I knew who would have three different parties in three different days in three different cities. And so, yeah, that was the young Kirk, man. That's when I first got to the NFL. And it was because I wanted to hang out with all the people who, like, I felt like were part of my rise to the National Football League, right? To the pinnacle of my career, like the highest part of my profession. So, it was okay to have a birthday party down in San Diego, because that's where I went to college at. And then in Los Angeles, where I had a lot of my friends I went to college with still, or people I knew from high school. And then having one in the Bay Area, whether it was San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, because that's where I grew up at. So I just found reasons to go out and party for my birthday. So I would do three different cities in three different days. And I told my buddies, I said, that's how you used to get, you know, this is when bottle service first started too, as well, when I got to the NFL. So this is how you get to have free bottles too. You host a party, you don't pay for anything, you have fun, people come out, and it's a lot easier than saying, oh man, Kirk didn't ever do this and that. No, hey, come hang out at my party. It's free. We're gonna have a good time, and that's good.
Kirk Morrison revealing that he's the Paris Hilton of NFL linebackers.
Oh, my God. I'll show you the text messages. They told me you're the male version of Paris Hilton. I swear to God. I didn't know that was a thing, but now that you're the second person that have told me that this morning, like, I realize that now is a thing. I promise you. I didn't know it was a thing.
So how is the birthday changed now? So you're not going to Tao. You're not getting bottles. You're not bringing out the entire secondary. Got the family tonight. Got maybe a little Netflix. Woo, could get wild.
Yeah, I'm going to get wild tonight, man. I think there's a couple of new shows tonight that my son, he's looking forward to on Nickelodeon. So Friday nights, for some reason, Nickelodeon does this. They tease these new episodes, right, all week long. And so that's all he talks about. Tonight, you know, there's a new Blaze. There's a new Santiago of the Sea tonight. And he's like so excited about it. And secretly, I'm excited about it too. Like secretly, I'm like, oh man.
You're a big Santiago of the Sea guy.
I'm
huh?
like, what is Santiago up to now? Like, what is he going to do? How is he going to conquer the sea? Or what is Blaze? Is he going to win the race? But deep down, you know what's going to happen. How are we going to, like, you know, children's cartoons are never going to end in defeat, right?
No, but, I would hope not. I would hope you're being a good parent, not showing your kids something that has the hero not making it to the second act.
But so that's about it, man. Just hanging out with the family, and my wife, she's gonna take me out to dinner. Probably we talked about it tomorrow, because we are in California. We're still in the pandemic. We are not one of the states that are kind of wide open in room. I mean, in person dining and things like that. Everything is outdoor dining. So, you know, for full disclosure, in Los Angeles, if you're trying to go to a nice restaurant, they're all booked up for the next 3 months. Like we try to looked at Javier, so maybe Javier is listening. There is no open spots for me this weekend to celebrate my birthday, Javier, or even, you know, the Mastros and all that good stuff. It's just hard because of, obviously, we're still in the pandemic, so having my birthday, I'm just happy to get to another year to be alive and well. I know earlier this week, I don't know if you and Ryan may have talked about it, but, you know, I lost a guy in Vincent Jackson. You know, was a former player with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, San Diego Chargers. He was my 2005 draft classmate as we both were drafted in that season. And, you know, he played in San Diego. I played with the Raiders, but I lived in San Diego in the offseason, so we would always link up. And so, man, when you start seeing guys your age, people that you know that are no longer here anymore, you celebrate birthdays differently. You celebrate them more with the people around you who are closest to you, and you truly appreciate the day.
Absolutely. Well said, Kirk. Well said. You know, when you hear tragic news like that happen, it breaks your heart and grabs a hold of you, especially if you feel like you have a personal connection to the man or to the woman who loses their life far too young. And it does put things in perspective. And as you are getting older, and instead of having, you know, three club parties, maybe you have one.
Yeah. Or just,
but
yeah.
As you continue on and get older and get newfound perspective, you really do appreciate the blessing that is life and to have another year around the sun. So happy birthday. And I cannot believe you waited 3 hours to share that with the class. Like, honestly, when it's my birthday, it's just, I'm nowhere to be found. I'm completely off the grid. Jason Bourne. It's a week. People know you got to block off a whole week. So
I didn't want to take away from all the great stuff that we had going on today, whether it was Matt Light or Darius Miles. Hey, those are the bigger stars today, right? Ben Schwartz, learning more about him. See, that's what happens too when I work with Ben Lyons. Not only do we have this cross section of sports, but it's also entertainment, right? Like Lamorne, who we talked to yesterday. Like a lot of these guys who you watch, and to be honest, sometimes like you don't even know their name. Like I know that guy. That's the guy from such and such, or that's the guy from such, like full disclosure again. Like I still, you know, watching the guy from Black Panther. Now he's on,
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah, like you know those names. Yet I just know the faces. Like I know that guy. He's in this movie and he's in that movie, and it's fun to hear their stories and hear that part of it because I think we have so much in common. And it's funny to hear like how they started, how they continue, what they're working on, what's next. And so I really am thinking about taking up improv, though.
Like I would love to see you do that. And I loved hearing Ben Schwartz's enthusiasm for you doing that. Ben is a terrific improv actor, having done Middle Ditch and Schwartz and so many UCB nights over the years. And when he heard your aspirations to want to take that on, like he was all in.
Oh, I took notes. I did. So I know one of the words that you use in improv is... Yes, and.
Yes, so, and absolutely. Yeah, that's the basic principle.
I was taking notes, brother. Yeah, I'm taking notes. So you know places that I can start at, just some low-level improv classes. I'm trying to. I'm sticking my toe in. I'm just not doing a cannonball. Like, you just can't go all in.
But no,
man,
but
right?
You're an NFL. You're an NFL athlete, a former NFL player. So yes, you're saying that now. But knowing you, 6 months from now, you're gonna be like, I got 6 shows a week. I'm doing every single night. I've been nominated for an Emmy for improvisational comedy. Like NFL, none of you guys don't do anything halfway. You even heard Matt Light saying, after football, I'm taking things on at the highest levels.
Yeah.
I mean, that's every aspect of your life.
Because we only know one way, man, which is 100% full speed, straight ahead, let's go. So, yes, I know I'm going to go all in, but I look forward to that, though. You know what I mean? Because you always want to go into something that you have nothing or you have no prior experience and you want to master it. Right, like one of my great teammates, Nnamdi Asamoah, now who's now in so many different movies, and yet,
oh my God, Sylvie's Love, he's terrific in opposite Tessa Thompson.
And this was like a star cornerback who I watched take notes every single day in the back of the meeting room, and was just the quietest guy. And he get on the football field, he's this monster. And I'm like, wow. And now he's a totally different person in his acting. So I think I see that part that's within me, a lot of athletes, and you have to find that passion as well. And so that's another passion that I can find that I can do outside of my broadcasting career.
Well, just don't get Hollywood Fly Guy on me a year from now when you're turning 40, Kirk, and you got a network show and a Netflix deal and you know, you're wearing sunglasses indoors because it's just too bright.
Wow. No,
you know,
like,
just don't
not
be
me.
That guy, okay?
That was the old Kirk, though. That was the NFL Kirk. Yes,
that
sunglasses
was the three
night,
birthday yeah. parties in yes. Southern California over a week, Kirk.
Yes, yeah, sunglasses at night for sure.
Well, hey, man, wishing you a happy, happy, and healthy birthday.
Absolutely,
it's great to spend some time with you today. We even get Oscar talk in. I got to sneak in my best picture prediction this year. That's Nomadland. So shout out to Chloe Zhao and Frances McDormand. All right, big week, man. We got into it all, and we appreciate you for rocking out with us this entire time. Rich will be back on Monday. Thank you so much to Don and Ben and Raiders Art and the entire team here for making us sound smart. Could not do it without you. So
absolutely.
It's a total team effort, and we felt like we were taken care of the whole week. I really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the sports weekend, everybody. Be safe, stay healthy, and be sure to check out the Rich Eisen Show on Monday when Rich is back from vacation. It's going to be a big week next week. Thank you so much, Rich, for the opportunity this week. For Kirk Morrison, I'm Ben Lyons, filling in for Rich. This has been the Rich Eisen Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.